Hello, everyone. Welcome to this podcast. I'm Pete Russo, Senior Vice President of Product Strategy and Innovation at Decisive. And today I have the pleasure of this conversation with Uwe Munch from Germany. He heads our business development over in Europe. And that's really going to be our focus for today, is talking about the value of SRM in Europe. So a lot of you may not know what SRM is. So we'll start with that, a little bit of an explanation of what SRM is and how we've developed that in the North American market. And then Uwe and I will talk about, some of that applies in Europe, maybe some of that doesn't. So we'll talk a little bit about the differences in the market and how that might affect SRM. And then we'll just move on into more and more detail as we go along, how we think we can help drive SRM in Europe. So I know I'm keeping you in suspense on what SRM is. So SRM, service relationship management. Really, the idea of service relationship management, Decisive created that category quite some time ago, maybe 15 years ago now, and has been leading the industry in that area, based around our contention that service events need to be managed. And that is, heavy truck, medium duty truck, light duty truck, any commercial assets, that service for those assets to be able to optimize asset performance, asset uptime, that needs to be managed. If it's not managed, chaos results. I think anyone in this industry knows that, because of the silos of information and all the different players that are involved in a service event. If you just let it happen, it's going to meander, problems, complaints about estimates going awry, extended downtime, not having the data you need, all of those kinds of things result if it's not managed. So let's talk a little bit about what that means. In principle, that concept applies pretty much worldwide. We've watched service events unfold in all parts of the world. We've been in shops in Europe, Japan, Latin America, all over the place. And this concept of a service event needs to be managed is true everywhere. So basically, what is the service event? It can be repair or maintenance. We're not particular about that. If it's a repair event, many times it's because of a breakdown, but it could be a driver does an inspection, a pre-trip inspection. They find a problem. They shouldn't be driving that or operating that piece of equipment, and a repair needs to be done. If it's a breakdown, it's even more urgent, and need to determine, how do we take care of that vehicle? Can the vehicle get somewhere to safety? Can it get to a shop? Where's the nearest shop? What the problems are? So repair, we have some issue. We need to get it to a shop or get mobile service to it. We need to diagnose it. Then we need to provide an estimate quite often on what it's going to take to get the repair. How long it will take is as equally as important as how much it'll cost, so that operator can decide what they're going to do. If it's a loaded truck or if it's a down concrete pumper or whatever it is, they need to address with that issue operationally. Get through the estimate, we get approval, work gets done. It could cycle around again if more issues are found and we need to go through that process again. Then finally, we can close out the work, and then we need to collect all that data and get all that data to the appropriate places. So that whole end-to-end process, that's what we call the service event in the repair case. In a maintenance case, it starts even earlier, right? With maintenance, we need to plan it. I need to plan when the service should happen, or if it's a campaign or something like that, schedule the service. And then all the steps flow pretty much as we described. So that's what we're talking about as the service event and what needs to be managed. Uwe, would you agree with me that is the case pretty much in Europe as well, how you would define a service event?
Absolutely. So I think in Europe, there is not much difference between US or North America and Europe. There might be, in general, in terms of how many planned and how many unplanned service events you have. This is a little bit different. We experience here in Europe that the amount of planned preventative maintenance events is probably the majority, and we have less breakdowns and less sudden repairs. But generally, the problem to manage and to organize all of them in the most efficient way in order to improve uptime, this is exactly the same between Europe and North America.
Okay. Yeah, so to provide support for that management of the events, Decisive has created a platform for that. And the basic components of it, one major component is our case application. And that really is for the various stakeholders in the ecosystem, whether it's the fleet or the equipment operator, equipment manager, that person to interact with the provider shop to get information from manufacturers, the OEMs, and the component suppliers and so on, and bring all of those together so that they're all can be engaged at the same time during a service event and communicate, share documentation, manage the approval process, manage the repair event statuses and so on. So that's the case platform. And that is like during the service event, how do I manage that? Of course, thousands of these are happening at the same time, right? And it depends on the size of the fleet you are or the size of the provider shop, or if you're a manufacturer and you have a breakdown call center or whatever, you need to be able to see in real time what's happening in your network or with your assets. And so for that, we have a product called Vision, which is providing this real-time dashboarding of what's happening right now across all of the service events that may be managed in case. And then, as I mentioned a couple of times, at the end of all this process, we need to collect this data because I need that for my service planning, for my cost analysis, for my parts inventory, and so on. And for that, we have a product called Insight, which is handling all the historical data. So we can look at trends and analyze the data and so on. So it's all the data from yesterday to the beginning of time on SRM. And then we recently added this year another application called Sentinel, which is for the pre-planning. How do I take care of the truck while it's operating? It's not being serviced. It's not in need of a breakdown. I want to be able to monitor it and plan ahead. So that's Sentinel is the latest one for that. And we also have API products. We'll talk a little bit more about that. In this platform, we enable any of our customers and partners to have their own SRM applications connected to this ecosystem to participate with all of the different stakeholders. And as I said, those stakeholders, just to summarize one more time, could be the equipment operator, transportation fleet, a managed care provider. We call it managed care, but it could be like a leasing company or contract maintenance company. And then the manufacturers, component suppliers, telematics, service providers, all of the different IoT type of diagnostic systems, dealer management systems, fleet management systems, all of that technology partners as well, all tied together. So in a little bit, we can talk how that ecosystem plays out in Europe as well. I think one thing quickly to note is that what we found is SRM, when you execute on it, when all of the players execute on it, it drives a tremendous value to all of the players in the ecosystem. So for SRM at this stage, going back to that concept of a service event, we've had over 19 million service events now on our platform. And so with that breadth of service events, you know, we can confidently say what the benefit is. You know, so we've seen for that transportation fleet or the equipment operator, 10% increase in asset utilization, 30% reduction in driver turnover. And we know driver turnover is a big issue in the industry worldwide because of driver shortages. We've rolled out to over 5,000 service locations. And from a service provider benefit perspective, huge benefit in terms of reducing triage time, like 70% reduction. We've seen 90% fix it right the first time, right? So the operator isn't coming back. If I don't fix it right the first time, that's killing my capacity in my shop, right? If I have to see the same customer and over again. So that's increasing my capacity, which increases my sales. So the manufacturer, big, big benefits are increase in part sales. We've seen like 15% or more increase in part sales. The other side of it is big increase in brand and customer satisfaction. 19% increase in customers likely to recommend the brand, 17% increase in overall satisfaction. So the point of all that, everybody benefits from this. This is not helping only one stakeholder or another. It's helping the whole industry really be more healthy to optimize asset performance. So Uwe, I know one of the differences you talked about was this planned versus unplanned, you know, in the service shops, especially we see that. And I think that's one of the reasons why we came out with the Sentinel product, is to help drive more planned service in North America. What are some other differences that you might see in the European market, the European transportation industry in particular?
What I really like here is that we have this holistic approach to managing the after-sales service process. And this is unique, I guess. And this is also helping the European business, specifically since we are capable not only to link service shops with the respective OEM to manage maintenance and repairs, but there is one piece that is bringing in the fleet into the service process, connecting it in a digital way. And there is a really huge challenge that we face in the European market, which is not existing in North America, which is like the languages and the different local regulations we have. So how to manage a national or an international fleet across the countries when everybody is talking in a different language and everybody is having maybe a different currency and following different regulations. There need to be a holistic approach, and there need to be a sophisticated system that is capable to deal with all those challenges, translating information from one language in another language, having those informations available across multiple borders and even multiple service networks. I guess this is probably the biggest challenge in Europe, is having to deal with not only one single country, but with 30 different countries and different languages.
You know, that when you say that, I think that brings home the chaos point especially well. Like, it's even more important in that context to manage the service event, because of that will increase the challenges to the communication and the flow of information.
Absolutely. Specifically, if you consider that most of the service locations and the service networks, they are organized on a local basis, while the big fleets, they are international. They are driving across the border. So there is a disconnect between the organizational structure of big fleets versus local shops. And of course, I think this is probably similar to the US situation or the North American situation. Fleets do not use only one brand, and they do not only use one type of asset. Fleets, they are using at least two or three different brands just to have a second choice, to have the capability to have the best commercial agreement between different brands. But at the same time, a truck is maybe just one unit that you need in your fleet, but a truck always requires a trailer. And if you're in the field, you probably need to have a forklift, you need to deal with reavers and so on. So it's not all about the vehicle, it's not all about one brand or one asset type. And this makes this holistic approach, where fleets should, in best case, only work with one unified system, one platform that covers all, that makes it so challenging.
Yeah, I can see that. One of the other things I've heard is a little bit different in terms of how the way of working in Europe is the concept of a home dealer, that a lot of fleets have a home dealer that they have a relationship with and that will manage or broker service on their behalf with other service providers.
I would say it is mainly true for small and medium-sized fleets. They are very much related to a home dealer. And whenever they have troubles outside their home region, this causes significant organizational issues to manage things like, for example, who is responsible to warranty the payment? Who helps a fleet outside the home region to get things fixed in a quick way? In reality, this typically takes a long while, because also something could be fixed in 5 minutes. Sometimes all the process around trying to understand who is the fleet, who's responsible to pay the invoice at the end. Or from the fleet side, there is a question whether the price that the service shop is offering, is it reasonable or is it much too high? Being outside of my home dealer, I don't trust anyone. So there is a significant forth and back and probably a lot of phone calls and emails between the at least three parties, home dealer, fleet, and repairing party, that unnecessarily increases the downtime in this situation, which is, of course, a significant loss in terms of revenue for the fleet, considering that probably a truck generates like 800 euro per day. If there is a downtime of one day, you've lost 800 euro.
Yeah, absolutely. I think people don't realize also that it's a loss of revenue for the provider to have that vehicle. It could be taking up space in a bay or in the lot or what have you, that as long as I'm not working on that vehicle and doing all of the ancillary activity around it, I'm not making money. People don't realize it's also a loss of revenue for the provider. And, you know, that really is where the platform can really shine, because that whole concept you just described, we talk about wrench time, like you mentioned, hey, it may only take 5 minutes to fix this. It took 3 days to do all the coordination around it. So we've seen studies where it's like 15% of the whole service event is wrench time. The other 85% is all of this ancillary activity. So how do we eliminate that? And that's where SRM comes in. And we have the concept of the four C's. The first one is connectivity. That's essential, right? We connect these different stakeholders together in that holistic platform, the way you described it. Then I can layer on communication. Now all of those parties can communicate faster, more effectively, and we start to eliminate some of that 85%, right? Then we add control. So control is important. It really is just like a manufacturing process. You know, I need to know when things are going off the rails. When are things taking too long? You know, the approval has been waiting for 4 hours. Why is that taking so long? Or this, you know, I have parts on back order or what have you. So the control gives me alerts and notifications when something is happening so that I can immediately take action. It also helps me when things are not happening that should be happening. And again, then I can take action. So that's the idea of control. And then finally, consistency at the end of that is what's necessary to make this SRM, to make managing these service events a repeatable process against best practices that can be measured and benchmarked, you know, through all of the analytics. So underlying that, of course, you got to start with the first Z. You have to start with connectivity. And that brings me back to the APIs that I mentioned earlier. So that brings us back to the APIs I was talking about and our product that we call SRM Connect, which is what enables that connectivity to the ecosystem through our set of APIs. So it could be that transportation fleet, or it could be the provider or the TSP, the telematic service provider, or what have you. But that is the on-ramp to the platform where we can quickly get people connected, so then we can layer on those other C's. And then as I mentioned, that key C at the end, you know, when you get to control and consistency, that is all about the data. You know, I have to have quality data that's going into the system through the APIs or through people engaging with the case application. And then, you know, we can take advantage of all of that data that's collected about the service event. You know, so it's not just what was the complaint, the cause, the correction, the fault codes. It's also the behavior of people. You know, how long did different steps in the process take? How often are these certain parts on back order for this particular make and model of vehicle? What are the main issues I'm having? Or how should I adjust my maintenance schedule? So all of these kinds of things are insights now that we can gain and help answer through the data products and services that we're coming out with. So that will be another way that all the different stakeholders can participate, whether it's they are a data provider and can provide information about diagnosing or repair times or something like that, or the other side of it where there's partners that can consume that data and help with predicting diagnoses, predicting repair, predicting maintenance schedules, these sorts of things. So we have forecasting as part of that. We can help with planning, service planning. What should the service repair intervals be to be more effective, or how can we make those dynamic? And then, as I mentioned, also even on the process side, what are the anomalies? When are we going off the rails? Looking at that data, we can start to predict and start to manage and control those events to get us back to that consistency in the end. Thanks, everyone, for listening to part one of this podcast, where we discuss the key benefits of using Decisive SRM and its value in driving more effective and more profitable service management. I'd like to invite you to listen to part two of this podcast, where we break down how Decisive SRM can be used to manage these service events, specifically in the European market.